This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending immense greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, we stopped in the previous series of khutb speaking about the prophets. We stopped on Surah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the 47th chapter of the Quran, whereby we mention inside that surah that it mentions the opposite traits or characteristics or some element of harshness towards people who don't believe or in the environment of warfare, to show the other side of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. But a default position of the Prophet and all of the Anbiya is one of mercy and compassion. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them three main tasks inside their life: to propagate and to teach and to live by al-Iman, al-Aqaid, belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa ahkam, sharia, law and legislations given to each and every single prophet, wa akhlaq, characteristics and behavior and etiquettes. These are three mainstream tasks given to all of the prophets. And regarding one of them, they may slightly begin to differ in terms of ahkam, rules and regulations, that certain things may be slightly allowed or disallowed at certain times and certain moments. But as for the character and the behavior, it is impeccable. The mercy and the compassion and the concern that they have their followers around them. That even if we study those moments where, if we can use the word linguistically, moments of frustration inside their life as human beings, Nuh alayhi salam, Alf sana illa khamsina aman, 1,000 less 50 years, 950 years, he persevered with his people. Then he lost heart with them, or began to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to destroy these people, and that no people come from their generation or genealogy or lineage who's going to remember you. That's why that's called amongst one of the first destructions on the face of this earth, of wiping out a whole jil, a whole creation. Yunus alayhi salam, when he left his people, fanada fi dhulumat, he called out in the realms of darknesses, but he left his people ghadiban, angry upon them, they're not responding to his call. Musa alayhi salam, kana ghadiban, became angry when he returned back to his people and he began to worship the ijal. So at that moment, those human characteristics of anger and frustration came into them. But even then, if you look at it, it becomes justified that after so much effort of preaching to these people, that now they're still turning away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And many of us, in a quick span of time, we do lose frustration with people. We mentioned many times that we will lose hope in people, but the Anbiya, they didn't. And the highest level of mercy was the mercy of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. There's come a messenger from amongst your own selves. It troubles him, it harms him. He's forever watching over you, that you don't come towards a path of guidance. حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. The end of Surah At-Tawbah. And the reason why we begin by this is the concept of mercy, of compassion, that the messengers came for a concern of the people. And that's how the Quran is full of mercy. Before the mercy of all of the messengers and the prophets, كَتَبَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ رَحْمَةً. Allah has written it upon himself to be merciful. That's why the Quran begins by speaking about Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, speaking about the most merciful, the most compassionate. That's why throughout the Quran it speaks about the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is what comes for the believings. وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا. And towards the believers, he is Rahim, because Rahman لِكُلِّ خَلْقِ. Ar-Rahman is for everyone. إِن كَانَ كَافِرًا أَوْ مُؤْمِنًا, believer, disbeliever, you find the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala covers everything. But Rahim is something specific for the believing individuals. That's we find in the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. In his hadith, جَعَلَ اللَّهُ رَحْمًا مِئَةَ جُزْ. Allah made mercy to be divided into 100 parts. He kept 99 parts with himself subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَنزَلَ جُزْ وَاحِدًا, or جُزْ واحد. He sent down just one part of mercy. With that one part of mercy, تَرَاحِمْ كُلُّ الْخَلَائِقِ, you find that all of the creation, it shows mercy to one another. حَتَّى الدَّابَّ, even the beast, the animal, the cattle, it has this natural inclination of mercy that's placed inside it. It raises its foot over its beast, over its child, lest it may crush it or may begin to harm it. That is a natural mercy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed inside animals, inside human beings. Tasawwur, imagine the rest of the mercy that lies with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 99 other parts lie with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That He is the all merciful subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why many ulama mentioned that when you want to talk about mercy, it returns back to whom? Al-Umm, the mother. Because you find Ar-Rahim, the womb, قَدْ تُشْتُقَّ مِنْ Ar-Rahim, Ar-Rahman. That if you look at the derivatives of linguistics of the Arabic language, they find that Rahim, the word Rahim, the womb of the mother, is extracted from the linguistics of Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. Because it is the place of mercy, the womb of the mother. That's why ulama tafsir mentioned that the surah inside the Quran, which is classified as surah of mercy, putting aside Surah Rahman, the 55th chapter of the Quran. But clear visible mercy is Surah Maryam, the 18th chapter of the Quran. The 19th chapter of the Quran is full of mercy, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whenever inside the Quran He speaks about mercy that we find, or encourage of calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or before that, reason why we chose Surah Maryam, because obviously it doesn't fit into the paradigm of surahs of the prophets. But it speaks about Isa alayhi salam. Just like you find Surah Al-Qasas speaks about Musa alayhi salam. But just to complete this so-called festive period and celebration to help us to understand who Isa alayhi salam was. Who was his mother, Maryam alayhi salam. Wahatta ibn Hazm al-Zahiri, al-Andalusi, al-Zahiri. He got Sahib al-Muhalla, a great work of fiqh. But he goes to the view that Maryam kanat nabiyya. She was a prophetess. Even though this view is an incorrect view, but you can understand how he extracted that. Because of privilege that was given to Maryam alayhi salam. So we find that inside this surah, inside the Quran, calling, imploring upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quran, it mentions, speak about Allah al-hayyul qayyum. That those places inside the Quran, study them whereby Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to implore and call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or use al-hayyul qayyum that occurs 3 times inside the Quran. And there's something even more powerful than that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions. Allah says inside the Quran, قُلْ إِدُ اللَّهِ أُدِ الرَّحْمَنِ Call Allah or call Ar-Rahman. أَيَّمَّا مَا تَدْعُوا فَلَهُ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى Whichever one of them that you use to implore and call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَلَهُ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى To Allah belong the most beautiful names. Meaning that if you call upon Allah with the name Allah, أو Ar-Rahman, that's what we find that inside this surah Ar-Rahman, is mentioned some 15 times over. And as for the derivatives of Rahman, you can count them many times over. Rahmatan minna, rahmatan, hananan. All these extractions, the whole surah, the key message of this surah is about leaning towards, coming towards the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we mentioned, this surah, the 19th chapter of the Quran, a Meccan surah. The 19th chapter of the Quran, 98 verses. No other name of this surah except for Surah Maryam. There is no chapter inside the Bible called the chapter of Mary. There's no chapter called the chapter of Mary. And likewise, when Christians speak about this so-called animosity between Muslims and Christians between themselves, you know, if you have animosity and hatred, you don't entitle a chapter of your book, of your legacy towards them. You don't call the name Isa inside the Quran 25 times. And the name Muhammad alayhi salam is only mentioned 5 times directly, his name inside the Quran. So this so-called animosity that they try to breed inside society, that Islam is a devilish religion. It doesn't respect the Anbiya, it doesn't respect the prophets. That's what the Prophet alayhi salam, he mentioned, that we are Anbiya la'allat, ummahatuna shatta, wa dinun wahid. That we are la'allat bima'na, that we come from different mothers. We're different, we come from different mothers, but walakin dinuna wahid. But our religion, our way of life is one. And that's what he said, ana da'watu Ibrahim wa bushra Isa alayhi salam. In another hadith that we find, he said that I am the call of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And I am the bushra, the glad tiding that Isa alayhi salam spoke about, that is going to come a messenger after me. Ismuhu, as the Quran documents, ismuhu, Ahmad, which the Quran documents, that this person who's going to come, this message is going to be Ahmad, is the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. This is something for us to think about in the society that we live in. Who really professes the belief inside the message? And the side, but if you study the Quran, yunkir kullu aqwal al-batila. You don't need to do a deep study of aqaid. The Quran refutes every single concept of Christianity. Whether they believe that Maryam is the mother of God, or whether Maryam is God, or if Mary is somebody special according to them that we worship and take as a saint, or if Jesus is God, or the Son of God, or to be worshipped. Kullu hadhil aqawil, all these beliefs, the Quran rejects them. Read the Quran. It's quite simple. Just give it to a Christian friend. Just read the Quran. Because the Quran, min al-bidayah ila nihaya huwa tawheed. The Quran from the beginning to the end is nothing, as we mentioned, but belief. Belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why you find that the main theme of this surah is al-aqa'id, is belief. Is the anbiya and as-salah. These are the three main topics that reoccur inside this surah that we're going to focus upon. About what is belief, what is the role of the messengers, and what is the concept of salat, which has been highlighted inside this surah that we find. Amma sababun nuzul, the reason of revelation, and we call it reason of revelation, meaning the context that what ulama have spoken about this surah, or where does it occur inside the seerah of the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. As we find that Ibn Kathir highlights and other ulama as well speak about, that these verses were used when the Muslims made the hijrah to Abyssinia. When they went to the land of Habasha, they went to Negus, the king at that time. The Prophet ﷺ praised him and said, go to this person, that no one is oppressed inside this land. So I'm sure that many of us are familiar with the stories how Ja'far ibn Abi Talib was there to delegate the people. And the Quraysh came running to say, these people speak ill of Jesus, of Christianity, and they are people who have given up their way of life. But Najashi was a fair man. Many lessons are learned from this, because many of us are warped up in our mentality that every single kafir is an evil person. That's what some of us are warped up to think in our mind. There are good people out there who may not be Muslims, but they have good inclinations. Because here the Prophet is saying, go to this individual, you'll find protection. So he asked them, tell me about your faith. What is your faith? I want to listen to you directly before the Quraysh are trying to tell me or what they've instilled inside my mind. So what do? They recite to him the verses from Surah Maryam. And then the translator translates them. وَالنَّجَاشِ بَدَى أَنْ يَبْكِي وَرُحْبَانِ, he began to weep, and all his priests around him, his clergymen, they all began to weep. They began to weep. That these are powerful ayat. And the story continued. Look at the seerah. He said the difference between myself and yourself is just this line in the sand. There's no distinction. This is the same way. And then some ulama of seerah, they speak about that when the Christians heard that he's given up his faith, they tried to question him. And he wrote down on a parchment, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. For wada fi sadrihi, he placed it inside his chest. He hid it inside his garment. And when the people came, and he came out in front of the people, he said, what is troubling you? They said, it's troubling us that you've entered this faith of the Arabs, this Islam. You've left the faith of Christianity. He placed his hand in his chest. He said, I believe what is inscribed here. فَأَشَارَ إِلَىٰ صَدْرِهِ. They thought that he's referring to his belief of being a Christian. That's how some ulama of seerah spoke about. But he was referring to the belief he'd written inside his chest that I am a Muslim. I believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why the authentic view, as collected by Imam Bukhari and others, that Najashi died as a Muslim. He died as a Muslim. The Prophet ﷺ prayed upon him. So this is the context to understand this surah. And context, as ulama of ulum al-Quran, they speak, it helps us to live in an environment that we live in. That sometimes we just pluck ayat from here and there and just try to enforce it around the society around us. Sahib al-Quran, a person in the Quran, understands the language of the Quran. Awliyat al-Quran, knows what verses concern the people, the bi'ah, the environment, the society, the troubles of people, what worries them, what their beliefs are. That's what we address in a society that we live in, or what we engage inside. As for the Fadl al-Surah, that we find so many verses speaking about Taqwa Allah inside this surah, speaking about Jannah as well that we find. As for this surah, why is this surah so marvelous? Rather, even before this, some ulama of tafsir, they mentioned that prior to this is Surah Al-Kahf, the 18th chapter of the Quran, as if it's a prelude towards other miracles that are going to come. Because that Surah Al-Kahf that we find Ashab Al-Kahf, the young boys, the companions of the cave, who slept for some 309 odd years, which is something strange. We find the journey of Musa and Khidr, whereby it's a journey of something which is strange, a journey of the unseen. Then we find the journey of Dhul Qarnayn, that we find towards the end of this surah of 110 verses. This is a prelude to Surah Maryam, that if you're going to marvel at all these strange things, now get ready to listen to even something more stranger about Zakariya alayhi salam, blessing him with a child who's more than 120 years old. And his wife is approximately something like 98, close to 100 years old. And then Maryam giving birth to a child without touching of any man. So this is how some ulama of tafsir begin to speak, that the previous symbols of miracles are just a build-up to get us ready for what will begin to occur inside Surah Maryam alayhi salam. Kaf, ha, ya, ain, sad. These five letters that we find at Surah Maryam, it begins with. There's no other five letters inside the Quran except for Surah Shura, Hamim, Ain, Sin, Qaf, the 42nd chapter of the Quran. These huruf al-muqatta'at, these 14 odd letters that we find, which are half of the Arabic alphabet, that you find some 29 surahs open with these huruf al-muqatta'at, with these broken letters. What do these letters, what do they mean? Because some ulama try to extract, there has to be a meaning towards these letters. Whether alif means Allah, la means al-latif, mim means al-rahman, is some interpretation that we find. But as we mentioned, the more classical view, as Sheikh Ibn Taymiyyah in his muqaddama fi usul al-tafsir, he mentions that these huruf at-tahaddi, or huruf al-muqatta'at, these hurufs are letters of challenging. The Arab people, like you're fluent inside the Arabic language, use these letters to write something like the Quran. And the reason why this view is the most strongest view, because if you look at all these letters, all these surahs, these 29 surahs inside the Quran that begin with these letters, all of them speak about the Quran straight after these letters, except for three surahs. Surah Maryam, Surah Al-Ankabut, and Surah Al-Rum. But even then, ulama tafsir mentioned that towards the end of these surahs, it begins to speak about the Quran. So all these surahs, in a nutshell, all speak about the Quran. So they begin with these letters to challenge the people. Imam Tabari, he goes to some great extraction. Kaf means Kabir, Al-Kareem, and this is Ba'id. Even though Imam Abu Jarir al-Tabari is a famous Mufassir, Imam al-Mufassirin, that no individual can rely upon tafsir except for returning back to Imam Tabari. But he just makes Yankul Hadil Riwayat. He mentions all these narrations. This is what it means. That's why you can see how some people go into this mystical stance of making these extractions of what these letters, what they mean. He also said that these letters, they mean the name of the Quran. But as we mentioned, all this is ba'id, far away from the most closest interpretation, that this Quran is marvelous. That focus on the theme of the Quran and the message of the Quran has been mentioned. And as we find, ذِكْرُ رَحْمَةِ رَبِّكَ عَبْدَهُ زَكَرِيَّا. Make the dhikr, the remembrance. Some ulama said, dhikru huna bima'na al-Qur'an. The remembrance of our servant Zakariya alayhi salam that we find. Imam Bukhari mentions, أَنَّوْ كَانَ نَجَّارًا وَكَانَ يَأْكُلْ مِنْ عَمَلْ يَدِهِ مِنْ فِي النَّجَارَ. He was a carpenter. And he used to eat from the earnings of his own hands. That's why you find that the Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned that most of the messengers, they were shepherds. They used to tend to the flock, because the tending of flock leads to patience, leads to mercy with the sheep and the flock around you, understanding, compassion. That's what we began with. That's why the prophets were full of this mercy and compassion, because many of them lived a natural life, a natural environment, natural surroundings they lived in. The Prophet ﷺ, really, Sirah was brought up in a natural surrounding. He wasn't brought up around the Kaaba with idolatry and the pollution, the corruption there. He was taken away. And we find that the element that existed inside his heart, that touch of rancor, or the touch of shaitan. What happened as a young individual? Jibreel alayhisalam came and he split open his chest and he plucked it out. Plucked that out of the Prophet and sealed his chest. That his face became so white. We came running back and they saw this paleness on his face. Look, read the Mu'jizat al-Nabi. Read Imam Bayhaqi's Dala'il al-Nubuwa in 8 volumes, printed in 4 volumes. We have to read about the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ to understand who really this individual was. لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. That's the key goal inside our lives. The benchmark is the Prophet ﷺ, to see how he engaged with people, how he lived with people, and the message he delivered towards the people. So we find the message of the Al-Anbiya inside this surah that we find. Zakariya alayhi salam, إِذْ نَادَ رَبَّهُ نِدَاءً خَفِيَّا. إِذْ نَادَ رَبَّهُ نِدَاءً خَفِيَّا. Ulama tafasir mentioned, as we began with, Ya Rab, making dua to Allah, imploring upon Allah. That's we find, look through the Quran, all those supplications, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا, رَبَّنَا ظُلَمْنَا, رَبَّنَا أَفْرِقْ عَلَيْنَا. Read those supplications. People come and ask, give me a wird. Give me some dua to read. The Quran is full of dua. Ad'iya. Study those du'as inside the Quran of imploring, asking upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ نِدَاءً خَفِيًّا. He implored, call upon Allah, نِدَاءً, with a call, خَفِيًّا. صَوْتٌ خَفِي. That's when the sunnah isn't to raise your voice when making dua ila Allah. It's to remain silent, to whisper it, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears all sounds. You don't need to raise your voice. It's khilaful adab. It's against etiquette to shout and scream to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The way of the Anbiya, إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يَدْعُونَنَا رَغَبًا وَرَحَبًا وَكَانُوا لَنَا خَاشِعِينَ. They used to call us a state of fear, hope, humbleness, humility. That's how the prophets used to call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's how we should implore. When we call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in secrecy, in a low voice, because Allah hears the voice. He knows the call. إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ نِدَاءً خَفِيًّا. He calls out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does he call out to? Ibn Kathir, he mentions, prior to that, he mentions, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ الْقَلْبَ التَّقِي النَّقِي وَيَسْمُ الصَّوْتُ الْخَفِي. Allah knows the heart which is pure, which is cleansed, which is full of taqwa. وَيَسْمَ صَوْتُ الْخَفِي. And hears the mild, soft sound. That's what Ibn Kathir writes in his tafsir, explaining this call of Zakariya alayhi salam. That Allah knows, hears that, knows this, the heart. يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ. Allah knows what the eyes, what they conceal, and what exists inside the chest. Allah knows that. So when you're imploring and asking upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we began with, asking by the name Allah Rahman, أَيَّمَّا تَدْعُوا فَلَوْ الْأَسْمَى الْحُسْنَى, whichever name that you use, He will respond. He will respond to the believer. And what does Zakariya, he pray for? قال ربي إني وهن الأظم مني واشتعل رأس شيبة ولم أكن بدعائك ربي شقيا. He said, oh my Lord, look at my life. My hair become grey, become silver. My bones have become weak. ولم أكن بدعائك ربي شقيا. I've never become one who's wretched in the sense that I've never, always my dua has been responded by you, Ya Rab. So there's no exception. Again, I'm going to call upon you. Why is he praying to Allah at this age? Does he want a son for just for the sake of having a son? The Quran documents the reason, yarithuni, to inherit from me. To inherit what? Al-mirath, wealth, property, whatever the anbiya they leave behind, whatever inheritance they leave behind, fahuwa sadaqa, is sadaqa. Prophets don't leave behind inheritance. The only inheritance they leave behind is al-ilm. فَمَنْ أَخَذَهُ فَأَخَذَ مِنْ حَظٍ وَافِرٍ. The inheritance they leave behind is knowledge. Whoever grasps, takes that knowledge, has grasped the immense treasure. That's what ulama are. They're taking the inheritance of the anbiya. So he's not worried about the wealth of this dunya, that I need a son to carry on my lineage. He wants a son who's going to carry on, وَيَرِثُ مِنْ آلِ يَعْقُوبٍ, who's going to carry on the journey of Ya'qub, his predecessor, the previous prophets. That's why Allah mentioned, Ya Zakariya, inna nubashiruka bighulamin ismuhu Yahya. We're going to give you, bless you with a son with a name called Yahya, which that name wasn't used before. Ulama tafsir mentioned either Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave this name, that call him Yahya, or bima'na Yahya, yuhyi ad-deen. He's going to revive the deen. Because when Zakariya is at age 120, there's no prophet. He's praying, send a prophet to come who's going to carry on with his message. So that's why he's been given the title of being called Yahya alayhi salam, that we find by Allah or by his own father, Zakariya alayhi salam. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins to speak about the journey of Maryam alayhi salam. وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ مَرْيَمْ إِذْ انْتَبَذَتْ مِنْ أَهْلِهَا فَاتَّخَذَتْ مِنْ دُونِيَا حِجَابًا مَكَانًا شَرْقِيًّا. Remember the story of Maryam alayhi salam. إِذْ انْتَبَذَتْ مِنْ أَهْلِهَا مَكَانًا شَرْقِيًّا. That she went to an eastern region. She gave up her people and she went away to a faraway place to be in a state of seclusion. فَاتَّخَذَتْ مِنْ دُونِهِمْ حِجَابًا. And she took a barrier between them. Some modern day ulama tafsir, they mentioned that using the linguistics of hijab, that this is the natural dress of the woman. That's why if you look at the picture you spoke about Christianity, how did they depict Maryam alayhi salam? What they call the Madonna. The Madonna is the real meaning of Madonna is referring back in Italian to referring back to the Latin to the praised woman, the praised lady. Is Maryam alayhi salam. They did depict her wearing hijab with a gown, with a cloak. Why do they depict her in this image? Whether the image is correct or not, but you can see that there's certain similarities that exist about certain characteristics that existed of the Salihin that existed priorly before us. And as we know that when Jibreel came to give her the glad tidings of a son, and before he even approached, she said to him, قَالَ إِنِّي أَعُوذُ بِرَحْمَانِ مِنْكَ إِن كُنْتَ تَقِيًّا. She said, I seek refuge of my Rahman. إِن كُنْتَ تَقِيًّا, if you're one who fears Allah. Another modern day extraction. Maryam alayhi salam wasn't known to be speaking to the opposite gender necessarily. That's what she said. When she saw a strange man, she said that, why are you here? Why are you here to speak to me? So first we find a lesson for our sisters. Awwalan al-hijab. The hijab of the Muslim mar'ah. The hijab of the Muslim woman isn't what the Western world teaches you. That teaches us. What becomes fitting or the fashion in such society. The hijab is not a fashion status. The hijab, as Fuqaha mentioned, is a symbol of chastity. Awwalan. It's a symbol of chastity, purity. That's what the hijab, a symbol is. It's not a fashion model. It's not a design. It's chastity. Secondly, we find that to speak to the opposite gender without any necessity, that's the natural default position of a woman that we find. Then it mentions, وَلَمْ يَمْسَسْنِي بَشَرٌ وَلَمْ أَكُوا بَغِيًّا. No man has ever touched me, and I was never an immoral woman. That's the third lesson. Immorality that we find what exists inside our society, that people find it a common norm to have loose relationships, external relationships, illicit relationships. It's common, even amongst Muslims. We think nothing of it. وَلَمْ يَمْسَسْنِي بَشَرٌ. No man has ever touched me. And I've never been, if you can use this, well, excuse me, use that language, but language of osteopathy, a loose woman, baghiya, immoral woman. I've never been a woman of such characteristics. How is it going to be? Then Allah highlights the biological concept that this is going to be something exception to the norm, that you're going to be born or you're going to give birth to this son. This only is exceptional to you. As Imam Shankiti inside his tafsir, he mentions, Adam alayhi salam is born without the use of a man and a woman. Hawa with the use only of a man. Isa with the use of only a woman. Wasairul bashar. And the rest of humanity is via the use of a male and a female. That's it. That's biology chapter closed. You don't need all this. There's a man and a man and a woman and a woman. One simple question. How did you come into existence? Was it the use of a man and a man, a woman and a woman? Or whatever else that these genders and pronouns they want to use? Or is it just a man and a woman? That's it. The book of Genesis, the Bible, it begins by speaking about what is the essence of creation of human beings. The story of Adam and Hawa is there inside the Bible. It's the man and a woman. And then Allah mentions the normality of she has to carry the child inside the stomach. A majority of ulama tafsir go to the view, she carried it for the full term of 9 months. For the full term she carried it. And then she made this statement, Ya laytani mittu qabla hadha wa kuntu nasya mansiya. If only I died before this hardship of delivering of a child. What are mothers that they go through? The pangs and the difficulty of that is what the Quran documents to help us to understand that this journey of Maryam alayhi salam and her son Isa alayhi salam. And you find that she's told to hold, grasp the tree, drink from the stream, and rutub and janiyah, and fresh dates will drop from you. That's the ulama of the Quran, they highlight that rutub and janiyah don't come down on the 25th of December. According to the land of Philistine and Beit Lahm, Bethlehem, that we find that dates don't grow in December. Dates grow there toward the middle or the end of March. So the whole of their belief is a fallacy. That this is the day that Christ was born, a day of his birth that we find. It's all a fallacy, corruption they try to instill inside society. And then the surah continues to speak about other prophets. Wadhkur fil kitabi Ibrahim. The story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, who again is imploring his father, Ya Abati. He's calling out to his father. His father was a disbeliever. He used to make the idols. Look at his characteristics, how he's speaking to his father. Ya Abati. Four times, oh my beloved father. His father is a mushrik, a disbelieving individual. That's a lesson for us. How do we speak to our parents? And they're Muslims for most of us. And even the non-Muslims, we don't use repulsive language towards them. We don't curse them. We don't revile them. That's not good da'wah to say you're just a kafir. You're just this, you're just that. Maybe sometimes we may be loose in our tongue to use such words as kuffar and kafir for a certain context. But that's not how a Muslim should be. It's not full of shatam wa la'an and cursing. It's full of mercy and compassion, and especially towards their parents. And Ibrahim makes the same dua. Wa'adu rabbi asa alla kuna bidu'i rabbi shaqiyya. Same as Zakariya. That I've made dua in my life. I'm never going to be unblessed. Allah will respond to my dua. Then Allah mentions of 10 different prophets. Wadhkur fil kitabi Musa wa Ismail wa Idris. And the message of prophets is mentioned there. Then the second theme, as you mentioned, is as-salah. The prayer. You know, it's quite strange that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inside this surah, Maryam, begins to speak about salah inside this surah. Allah mentions firstly about Zakariya. فَخَرَجَ عَلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ مِنَ الْمِحْرَابِ He came out to his people from the mihrab. Mihrab is the niche in the wall. Here, kinaya and makanu salah. It carries the meaning of the place of prayer. He came out of his place of prayer. So Zakariya was indulged in prayer. Maryam alayhi salam, وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ مَرْيَمِ إِذْ انْتَبَذَتْ مِنْ أَهْلِيَ مَكَانًا شَرْقِيًّا Remember Maryam alayhi salam, she went away from her people to an eastern area, eastern province. Ulama said, for what reason did she move away from her family? لِلصَّلَاةِ For ibadah, for worship. So she couldn't get disturbed. Isa alayhi salam, وَأَوْصَانِي بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ مَا دُمْتُ حَيَّا Look at the commandments Allah gave to Isa alayhi salam. وَأَوْصَانِي بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ مَا دُمْتُ حَيَّا Allah gave me the legacy, the advice that to establish the prayer, to give the zakah, مَا دُمْتُ حَيَّا as long as I live. Prayer is never lifted. Prayer is never abolished. Prayer is never exempt. You can find al-jam wa taqseer. You combine and to shorten. But prayer is never lifted off a man in his life. Unless he loses his senses, he falls into deep sleep, at that moment in time, that's it. There's no excuse. And then again, Allah mentions, speak about Ismail. وَكَانَ يَأْمُرُ أَهْلُ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ Ismail used to command his family members with the prayer and the zakah. Again, then Allah mentions, فَعْبُدْهُ وَاسْتَبِرْ لِعِبَادَتِهِ Be patient. وَاسْتَبِرْ لِعِبَادَتِهِ Remain resolute. لِعِبَادَتِهِ And the highest level of ibadah is as-salah that we find. And then comes our state. Our ummah. Allah then mentions, فَخَلَفَ مِنْ بَعْدِمْ خَلْفٌ أَضَاعُ الصَّلَاةَ وَاتَّبْعُ الشَّهَوَاتِ فَسَوْفَ يَلْقَوْنَ غَيَّا They came after them a people. فَخَلَفَ مِنْ بَعْدِمْ خَلْفٌ أَضَاعُ الصَّلَاةَ They wasted their prayer. وَاتَّبْعُ الشَّهَوَاتِ They follow their lusts and their desires. That's why Imam Shanqidi inside his tafsir of his ayah, he writes some, I can't remember, maybe up to some 50 pages or so, speaking about importance of as-salah. Based upon this ayah. And also we find that ash-shahawat, desires lead to abandoning the prayer. Not the good shahawat of eating and drinking, which are ja'iz. Other desires and temptations of munkarat, al-fawahish, they slowly, slowly chip a person away until they abandon as-salah. That's why the khutuwat of shaitan of leading a person to enter into shahawat. What are the shahawat, the temptations that we're surrounded by? How does a person drift away from being a good, wholesome, young individual? How do they drift away? What are these shahwat? Al-khamar, al-mukhadirat, drugs, alcohol, and nisa women. Those shahwat, what do they lead a person towards? To delay their prayer, abandon their prayers, to not pray, forget about their prayers. فَسَوْفَ يَلْقَوْنَ غَيَّا You know, harsh warnings. That's why we find that if there's something that we need to warn the people about, that's why a Sahaba mentioned, the most concrete thing that we're united upon is tarku salah. Whoever leaves the prayer, fahuwa kafir. is a disbeliever. Other things, they're all disputable. They're all disputable amongst the companions, discussions exist amongst them. But as-salah that we find, as-salah, the person who leaves the prayer, the fine line distinction between a man and kufr, isn't this dress sense, isn't this behavior, is as-salah. فَمَنْ تَرَكَهَا فَقَدْ كَفَرُ. Whoever leaves the prayer, he's a disbeliever. The hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam that we find. So we find these all become stepping stones, a shahwat. But as we mentioned, this surah is full of mercy. Allah then mentioned, إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَأُولَٰئِكَ يَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ وَلَا يُظْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا. Look at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا. That if we have missed our prayers, or we never prayed, or never knew about the importance of prayer, it's not all lost. It's not the end of the world. That Allah has awoken many people. You know, you read some of the seerah, some of the ulama, some of them were robbers, highway robbers. They were thieves. Look, read the seerah of Umar ibn Khattab, what type of person, read his life, how he entered into Islam. You know, it's just remarkable. A person weeps when they see that this strong personality, this individual, such a character, how he just becomes so softened by the Qur'an, the impact of the Qur'an. Taha, ma anzalna alayka al-Qur'an litashqa. Surah Taha, the 20th chapter of Qur'an until the verse number 14. Innani anallahu la ilaha illa ana fa'budani wa aqimis salata li dhikri. These are the ayat that Khabbab was reading. And he heard these ayat when he tried to enter into the house of his sister Fatima. Trying to storm into the house. That how dare you enter into Islam. But when he heard the Quran, it penetrated into his heart and his mind. That's why no, we should not fail upon any individual. That whatever we fail inside of life, when a soul awakens, what is as-salah? That becomes the closest bond for the believer between himself and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a spiritual highness. That there's no highness in this dunya will give that peace and that tranquility. When a person goes down onto the floor, onto the ground. That's why Allah makes us go down on the ground and place our faces down on the ground. Isa alayhi salam used to bow down and pray. He used to pray, all the Anbiya used to pray, he used to bow down on the ground. Why do we go to the ground? Because the most beloved thing to the human being is his face. But we rub it down on the ground. And what do we say? Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. We rub it down on the ground and remain there. In sujood. Submission to Allah. That this human being, this carcass, this flesh, this blood, these bones is nothing. It all needs to submit to the highest level of obedience. That's why as-salah furida fil jannah. That's why prayer wasn't given in this dunya. Prayer wasn't given in this dunya. The Prophet had to make the ascension. He had to make the ascension to the heavens. And then Allah gifted him with as-salah. And gifted him with the final two ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah. Gave it to the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. That's what as-salah is. The mirage. The weapon of the believer. The vision of the believer. Every time something troubled him inside his life. What did the Prophet alayhi salam do inside his life? Yarji ila salah. We'll return back to the prayer. Focus inside the prayer. And that's what the life of the believer is. All these worries, these troubles. That's why even medication that we find that sometimes this is justified by overuses of medication. I find Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah and his At-Tibb al-Nabawi. He said, I was in Mecca and I fell ill and I was trying to find a doctor. Not to say it's haram or wrong to look for a doctor. I was trying to find a doctor. I didn't find a doctor. فَأَخَذْتُ مَاءُ زَمْزَمْ. I took the water of Zamzam. وَقَرَأْتُ عَلَيْهِ مَرَّاتْ Surah Al-Fatiha. I read Surah Al-Fatiha many times over it. And then I drank it. And I was healed. You know, sometimes the spiritual side, we don't want to go towards. I'm not saying don't take medication, but take medication. Do those things. That's why Al-Fatiha is the most ultimate ruqya a person can read upon their own souls. These seven ayat verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we find the concept of Jannah, the Allah mentions inside this surah. Jannati adin allati wa'ada rahmanu ibadu bil ghaib. This is the unseen paradise we promised the believers. So we mentioned it's not all doom and gloom. There's going to be paradise for believing individuals. تِلْكَ الْجَنَّةُ الَّتِي نُورِثُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا مَنْ كَانَ تَقِيًّا. This is the inheritance of Jannah we give to our servants who are taqiyan, who are pious individuals. يَوْمَ يَحْشُرُ الْمُتَّقِينَ إِلَى رَحْمَانِ وَفْدًا. We're going to bring the pious individuals in groups on that day and day of judgment.
إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات سيجعلهم الرحمن ودا. All in paradise. Those who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who place love, not just inside this dunya, but love inside the akhirah for the believers. As the third main theme, well actually which should be the first main theme of this surah as we mentioned, is the concept of belief. The belief of all of these messages, the amount of times that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the belief of the believing individual. Whether it be the beginning when Isa alayhi salam highlights, قَالَ إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ, that I am the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Maryam alayhi salam, فَأَشَارَتْ إِلَيْهِ, she points towards the babe, points towards the child. They said, how can we speak to a baby inside the cradle? And that's why Isa alayhi salam, he never spoke and then spoke about the innocence of his mother. As ulama had mentioned, the first thing he highlighted, قَالَ إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ, that I am the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we mentioned many times, ubudiyah, to be called a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the highest maqam inside the Quran. When Allah praises the anbiya and praises the prophets. Allah also subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, wa inna Allah rabbi wa rabbukum fa'buduhu. My Lord and your Lord is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so worship Him all alone. Rabbu samawati wal ardi wa ma baynahuma fa'budhu. The Lord of the heavens and the earth, so worship only Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa kullum atihim yawm al qiyamati farda. And all of them will come on the day of judgment in their own identity or individual. They'll come on themselves on the day of judgment. And also Allah speaks about the unseen, about Jannah, about Nar and the Ghaib inside this surah as well. But the most important thing about inside this surah about belief is, that, as we mentioned, the rebuttal of the Christian belief. What do they believe? The Quran documents it clearly. When in the beginning of Surah Maryam, Allah mentioned, مَا كَانَ لِلَّهِ أَنْ يَتَّخِذَ مِنْ وَلَدٍ سُبْحَانَهُ. It's not befitting that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes a son, takes a child, subhanahu. Glorified is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, feeds Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from any imperfection or any need of any human being. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins to speak about in detail what these individuals, what they're saying. وَقَالُ اتَّخَ الرَّحْمَانُ وَلَدَا. They say that Ar-Rahman has taken a son. لَقَدْ جِئْتُمْ شَيْئًا إِدَّا. You've come with something evil. That you attribute a son to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. تَكَادُ السَّمَاوَاتُ وَتَفَطَّرْنَ مِنْهُ. You find that the heavens are about to cleft asunder. وَتَنْشَقُّ الْأَرْضُ. And the earth is about to break apart. وَتَخِرُّ الْجِبَالُ هَدَّا. And the mountains are about to turn into dust. To break into pieces. For what? أَنْدَعُوا لِلرَّحْمَانِ وَلَدًا. For what reason? For what you attribute to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, as we mentioned many times, we get so frustrated about little small things. Small things around us, especially with other Muslims, we get so frustrated with Muslims around us. This is the frustration that should be frustrating us. And da'u lirrahmani walada. They attribute a son to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The heavens are about to rip asunder. The earth is about to break apart. Mountains about to collapse. This is what they attribute to Allah. وَمَا يَنْبَغِي لِرَحْمَانِ أَنْ يَتَّخِذَ وَلَدًا. It's not befitting to attribute a son to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this verse that they speak about in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, He sent His begotten son. Even Christian clerics, they don't know what the meaning of begotten son is. What does it mean? There's some version of the Bible is taken out, placed back in again. They don't know themselves. What does it mean? It's just a form of speech. But most Christians do believe that Jesus is literally the Son of God. He is God. That's their belief. There may be some Christian exceptions to that. But the masses, and they believe that. That's their belief. So the difference between us and them, is this is the difference. That you attribute a son to God. This is what we should be frustrated about in the society that we live in. A Muslim doesn't do that. So these cliches that exist inside our society that we're defending the creed and the belief. Defending the creed and the belief is Ibn Taymiyyah, as he wrote, Al-Jawabu Sahih Liman Baddala Deen Al-Masih. The correct statement by the people who changed the way of life of Isa alayhi salam. We're the only ones who uphold that belief. The Orthodox belief of Isa alayhi salam, he believed him. In kullu man fis samawati wal ardi illa ati rahmani abda. Everything in the heavens and the earth will come as a servant in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Laqad ahsahum wa addahum adda. Allah has counted every single thing. Nothing is hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And maybe because of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He hasn't destroyed the heavens and the earth for what they attributed, has let this statement go by. وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ نَسِيَّ, as it mentions in this surah, your Lord is not forgetful. That's why read through the Bible. Not encouraging you to read the Bible. If you study the Bible of those people, Christians, you find so many discrepancies. They say God forgot. God lost Adam. God wrestled with Abraham. God got drunk. Hasha wa kalla. This is what their Bible speaks about. This is supposed to be the book Revelation given to them. And that's why we believe as Muslims that it's been made ta'rif. It's been changed. That's why even Christian scholars have compiled the Bible. It's called a red lettered version Bible. And they say every time the words of Jesus are mentioned, they're highlighted in red. How much of it is in red? 10%. 10%. The red lettered version Bible, not compiled by Muslims, but Christian scholars, that these are the words, or could be the words of Jesus. The rest are the words of Paul, Mark, Matthew, Luke, John. Man hum ha'ulay. Who are they? Who's Mark? Who's Matthew? Who's Luke? Who's John? No one knows. No one knows their genealogy, their history. Amma nahnu al-muslimin. Any sahabi, any companion, any individual that you find their full lineage. Kutubu riwayat that we find, books of hadith that we find, ilmu al-jar wa ta'deel. Scholarly research of every single individual is documented, whether it be the works of Imam Dhahabi, Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani. Every single person, you can study their lineage and genealogy. Who they study, where they learned from. It's all there. It's all preserved. As for them, these fables and myths that we find that they're surrounded by. And as we find in conclusion, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ سَيَجْعَلُوا لَهُمْ الرَّحْمَانُ وُدَّا. Allah will place mercy, love, between the believing individuals. And that's why this Quran that we were sent down, وَتُنْدِرَ بِهِ قَوْمَ الْلُدَّ. This Quran that we began with, as we mentioned, the end of the surah speaks about the Quran to warn people. People who are continuously quarrelsome. People who are rejecting the truth, to warn them with the message of the Quran. وَكَمْ أَهْلَكْنَا قَبْلَهُمْ مِنْ قَرْنٍ. How many generations we destroyed before? هَلْ تُحِسُّ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ أَوْ تَسْمَعُ لَهُمْ رِكْزًا. Do you hear anything about these previous nations that were destroyed? Or do you hear any رِكْزًا? رِكْزًا مَعْنَا صَوْت الْخَفِي. Do you hear even a whisper of these people? The people who reject Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Read through the Quran, how Allah destroyed those nations, those tribes, those people who rebelled against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the only reason why we're saved is because of the dua of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, to not destroy this ummah, that this is the last ummah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those individuals who pioneer and champion the cause of all of the prophets, and specifically the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in our da'wah to the people, to the da'wah tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the essence of belief, is to call people to the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No intermediaries, no individuals. This concept inside a society of personality worship that we find. We should not worship, as we mentioned many times, don't raise any man beyond his rank, except for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Other than that, every person is in equilibrium, that we become so full of certain people and we rely upon human beings. Don't rely on human beings, rely only upon wa tawakkal ala Allah. Rely only upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.